Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
And welcome to episode 30.
Ooh. Yes.
Dirty 30.
My age of Come Get Your Podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, rubbing that
Still
in.
Still got another 10 more for Dustin's.
I'd say by now we are who we are. We know what we're about. We've matured.
No, we haven't.
Duty.
He said duty.
Teeth.
I'm your host, Adam.
I'm your host, Dustin.
And I am Chris.
And I've been day drinking.
I
need to start
day napping.
I'm jealous because I can't day nap anymore.
What?
I lost that ability. I might have never actually had that ability.
You need to get the app called Pazizz.
Yep.
Excuse me?
I took a day nap yesterday using the very app. It worked.
Is this like a white noise app?
No.
It's like a meditation-esque.
Mm-hmm. Like ASMR? Like
music will play, and some guy will talk to you, and it soothes you a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
I've been listening to the lo-fi, YouTube live videos things that you can... I mean, you just search for lo-fi music, and a huge list will appear to you. I've been listening to that to fall asleep, and that's been working pretty well.
Yeah.
Do you just need, a white noise machine, essentially?
Probably. I have a fan, two fans going, technically.
Hey, you got three right here, baby.
Ooh. Thank you. I'm not included among my fans.
And, I'm at three, the two you have already, and me. I don't know if Dustin's a fan, so I'm sorry, but I am a fan.
I have a stand-up fan, and then that oscillates, and then a ceiling fan, and then Chris, apparently.
I'm just a fan of you, not... I guess I could rotate in a fast movement.
You have made that known to me lately.
I'm a fan... Of fans.
That's Come Get Your Podcast episode 30, you guys. Right. Thanks for coming in.
That's been a solid episode. Thank you for listening. I've been your host, Adam.
Fans.
Jesus.
I remember when I was a kid, I had one of those home medic noise machines.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always do the rain one. Rain always helps me go to sleep. If I have a hard time going to sleep, I will usually put on rain sounds.
So one of the many bachelor parties I went to in late May and June, in the last one I went to, actually, one of my friends who was with us put on a white noise app that he has on his phone. We went to bed, and there was only three of us. So, I mean, there's plenty of – everyone could hear it. It was great. Everyone spaced out, had their own bed. and he put on rain, and that knocked me right out. It was great.
Yeah, it's usually rain or lightning and thunder sounds.
And I've tried that too. You just search it on YouTube, and there's 8-hour video, quote unquote, videos of just light rain and light thunder.
Yeah, that's why anytime it rains, windows are up in my bedroom, and it's great.
I like it. That's a opposite sleep nap focus. Oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I don't know why I don't do that more.
So I think you could day nap, man. You just need to believe in yourself. Day nap.
If I'm really tired or having a really long day at work, I'll go on break for 30 minutes and I'll just set my nap timer in my car to 25 minutes and I will fall asleep in my car with the air going. It's that fast.
Are you still going to be able to do that?
I don't know yet. TBD.
Yeah.
You're
moving up.
I'm moving up.
Life.
Getting a new job somewhere else, so.
Not with me anymore. I'm all alone.
No, yeah. But you're at home now, so I don't even get to see you in office anymore anyway, so.
That's true.
And some other things, right, Dustin?
You're gay?
Yeah, I don't know. I was waiting, and I'm... What?
Well, you're not going to see him anyway. Because...
He's a ghost.
Yeah, what?
He's been dead the whole time.
You're not going to be working at the same...
Yeah, we're, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's exactly company. What we're talking about. Yeah, that's what... Hi, welcome to 30 Seconds Ago.
Chris, that's what we're talking about.
In my defense, I only heard bits and pieces because I'm on call right now and my team was messaging me, so I do apologize.
That's important.
That's
acceptable.
That's kind of what we were talking about. And,
I tune myself out, so don't worry about it.
That's why when you're like, and what else? I was like, I don't know what else. Is there something that I'm going to be surprised about?
I was excited for you.
So, yeah, I was too. I was like, what's going on? Did I win something?
Chris won the lotto for you?
Well, but yeah, I'm going to be working somewhere else. So
your team members or subordinates, depending how you want to phrase it, are can handle themselves a little bit.
Here it is. And here's what else. You're not working overtime this week.
This is true.
Oh, you're not? You son of a bitch.
Well, my team is on 8 hours of overtime this week.
Oh, you just don't.
My last day is Wednesday.
Yeah.
I got the email informing me of the overtime. And but said, I'm just
fuck it.
I'm just not gonna do it.
I mean, there in theory, you could technically get that 8 hours of overtime done on Thursday and Friday.
Oh, most definitely, but
so you don't have to do it Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
But I'll be honest, I don't wanna.
No. I don't know. And you get a mini vacay.
I know. And it's so good. And they're paying me out my remainder of my vacation. So it's almost like I'm working those days anyway. So
hell yeah.
It's all working out. And good. Just it's not going to do it.
It's a good thing.
I've never missed overtime. I've never not worked my hours at that job in over 4.5 years. And just, I don't want to.
What are they going to do? Not hire you back?
Exactly. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to.
Wouldn't be prudent.
I'm even going to be lazy in my statement of, I don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it.
It's acceptable.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
I did. I worked 12-ish hours yesterday, and I was like, how do you guys do this? Every day?
I'll say the same answer that I did earlier. Not well.
Yeah, not well.
Barely?
After you do it a while, one day is not so bad. It sucks, but when you've done like three in a row, it really starts to hurt.
I did 2 12-hour days on this past Wednesday and Thursday, just so I didn't have to work any overtime on Friday. And I mean,
sometimes you just got to do it. But it's not fun.
I told Dustin this yesterday. I said, you know, when I worked as an 8-hour day, I actually feel a little guilty, you know, because I feel like I should be working more. But then I'll work more. Like, I usually work a 10-hour day, typically, I'll say.
If I'm on 10 hours of overtime a week, that's what I usually do, is 10-hour days all week.
Yep.
This past week, I just didn't feel like working overtime on Friday, so that's why I did 2 12s back-to-back. We'll probably do the same thing next week.
Yeah, I was the type of guy that would, like, front-load my week, so usually I would work 11 to 12 hours Monday and Tuesday, and then 10 hours Wednesday, 9 hours Thursday, that type of deal. And then Friday was just 8 hours. So it's all on how you do it.
Yeah. I know that next Friday I'm leaving for Wisconsin. I don't think we're going to be at the same place.
I honestly still do not know where I'm going.
Well, we'll talk after we record, so it's not out there. But
Chris, have you ever seen Cabin in the Woods?
Is that the one where the family goes camping and have a fun time?
No.
In the woods? Yes.
Chris Hemsworth.
That's Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
Is that the one with all the rooms and the monsters?
Yeah, maybe.
Featuring John Lithgow. No.
That's Here's Dexter the thing. Season
Chris
four.
Doesn't know. John Lithgow could be in Cabin in the Woods. He wouldn't know.
I know, he wouldn't.
Is he? Maybe. Maybe in the sequel. Maybe in my mind. Who knows?
He's definitely in Harry and the Hendersons. Mm. And in All of Our Hearts.
And in Footloose.
He go on gets the best, I think.
You've seen Footloose, Chris?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Footloose.
Really?
No,
I haven't seen the new Footloose. I've seen the Kevin Bacon
one.
Who fucking
saves a town by dancing? That's dumb.
Kevin Bacon.
America.
No. America.
Well.
I'm just boggled that Chris hasn't seen all of Ghostbusters 1 and 2.
That's so crazy to me. I'm not going to say it's egregious.
It's about...
It's bordering.
It's the worst thing you've ever done, Chris.
That's not true.
Ouch. I just hit my desk.
There's no way that is the worst thing I've ever done.
You watch those movies and then you come back to me and tell me that same thing.
Don't watch two.
I am telling you right now.
Vigo.
And I'm not going to prove it, but that is not the worst thing I've ever done.
Agree to disagree.
Okay. So video games.
How's your guys' weeks been? What have you been playing?
I've been playing a many things. And yeah. I'm going to go last because okay. we'll probably have the most discussions.
Sure. I feel like I've played a couple many, many different things. Played some God of War.
Back on that train.
I'm still working my way through it because our buddy Paco sent me a Snapchat of our friend Zach playing it, who doesn't ever really game, and stated it would be really funny when Zach beats God of War before you, and then that immediately made me pick up the controller and start playing it.
Is that all it takes?
Kind of. It's weird how my brain works that way. So I've played a little bit of that. Played some Destiny 2 with Chris and Jeff.
Allegedly
Jeff. And I played a few things. PUBG, played some Sega Genesis classics last night with Chris.
Yes,
we rocked some of that. Toe Jam and Earl,
Golden Axe, Streets of Rage, yes, Choose Your Age Where. I'm pretty certain that Dustin and I hit each other more than we hit the enemies in Streets of Rage 2.
Most definitely.
How did they, my question is, how did they capture the controls for Streets of Rage? Does it feel sloppy?
No, I thought it was fine.
Not bad, no.
Tight? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we only played the first one, so I don't know how...
No, I played the second one.
Or the second one. First one's garbage. It felt okay. I mean...
Felt fine? Okay.
Yeah. I kept doing my super... punch whatever hurting me a lot on accident, but just because I
watching Dustin play Toe Jam and Earl was hilarious.
Who was Toe Jam?
I was Toe Jam.
Yeah, I was Earl.
First time Dustin met one of the hula girls, he's like, "Oh," and then every time after that, he goes, "God damn it, stop! No, I don't want to dance."
Yeah, every time.
But you gotta.
And then I also was on level 5 for about 20 minutes because I kept falling and getting knocked off to 4 and getting back to 5 just to get to Chris, who was at 6.
He had spring shoes and jumped off the edge.
You know, it's been a minute since I played that fucking game, you know, so.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was a blast.
So I bought Rise of the Tomb Raider last week. It was on PlayStation. I was on sale for like $20 at one of their like flash sales or something.
Already? Jeez.
Yeah, it was a pretty good deal, I think.
That's a great deal.
And I played the first Tomb Raider, the reboot series, and I liked it. Rise of the Tomb Raider is good. It is highly rated. Like, it makes me feel like it's Uncharted, but it's not Uncharted.
Wait, is but Rise I wanna... the second one?
Yeah, it's the second one. It's been out for a little bit.
I thought that was the new one, and that's why I was like, already?
New one's not even out yet. That's Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Damn, I'm not saying pay attention to that series.
That's okay, man. So it's got highly rated, so I was like, yeah, don't worry, I'll buy it. It's a good sale right now, and it plays well. I just have to get into it more. It hasn't grasped onto me yet. Okay. So,
I did like the first one a lot.
It was fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Other than that, you know, Destiny with Dustin and Legend of Life, where either tonight or tomorrow, we're going to be getting that Whisper of the Worm.
Yeah,
we're trying to get it, at least, I should say.
To see a new weapon.
We're going to get it. Yeah.
Do you remember the Black Spindle?
Sure do.
It's the new one of that.
It's one of my favorite guns.
This is the Taken version of that.
It's Taken, and it follows the storyline of Destiny pretty well.
Is it skinned Taken?
Yep.
Okay, that's pretty. That's dope.
My name is Bife. Does a video on it and the lore behind it. Very interesting. And that's the thing with Destiny and Bungie in general, is that in order to get the story, you gotta really look at the details and
I'm glad he's still outside around.
Of the game. Oh, yeah. Thank God. Yeah, or else I'd be like, what?
He's just going on? Shepherding people towards the actual story of the game.
Same with Datto, because for a long time before they started releasing newer content, like they stagnated completely and were very obviously at a loss of what to do with their channels, and I think that hurt them a lot.
I think so, too.
But
I've always liked Bife, though.
So, out of nowhere, a couple weeks ago, when you're on IO in Destiny 2, there's a Taken event, a public event that goes on, like any other time. However, the bosses in there are old bosses from Destiny 1 that are now Taken, like Thalas Tarrarch and some other ones that I can't remember. And if you kill them, it opens up this like Taken portal that you go in. And it essentially, the first part is a platforming puzzle, and the second part is kill all the Taken in this area. If you do it all in 20 minutes, you get Whisper of the Worm, which is a ridiculously powerful sniper rifle.
Mm-hmm. And same properties as Black Spindle?
Except probably more powerful, I think, than the Black Spindle was.
So Black Spindle, if you're not familiar, basically if you hit a crit shot on an enemy, it instantly reloaded the magazine, correct?
Yeah, from the reserves.
I think so. I don't know if this does it or not, but I haven't looked either, though.
Okay, I think you had to hit a specific amount of...
Were they all... The whole magazine was crit?
I think so, and then they would immediately reload it. That's why it was so useful in the Taken, like the Fallen King raid.
Basically, keep going. What I'm getting at is if you hit headshots or critical shots on an enemy's with every single round in a magazine, it would automatically reload, essentially giving you infinite ammo for however much you have.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's why it was so good.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's still very powerful, the videos I've seen on it, and it's just one of those cool, you know, Destiny things that they did in, you know, year one, is like the random events, you know, and out of nowhere there's something that you can do. Like, that's how we got Sleeper Simulate the first year. Black Spindle was like out of place, like, who, what, why did this happen? And it just feels good that they're going back to that.
Yeah, didn't they you were saying they added the ship now that's a part of that?
Yeah, so apparently also in the place that you get the Whisper of the Worm, you could also get this it looked like a blueprint, but you couldn't tell what it was. And apparently in the last update they did, they put some files on the computer. Now that Destiny's on the computer, people are data mining it, of course.
Yep.
And there is the ship you got at the end of Taken King Raid, the King's Fall. Remember, it was
from
like that
the first
white...
Destiny.
Yeah. It's from that. It was that white ship, and it looked weird. But this is the Taken version of that ship now. So
it was in the first Destiny, the ship is like, it's white, and then it has like meaty red.
It almost looks like the ship's made out of bone for some reason.
Bone and it's muscle. Just,
yeah.
Okay. So in this one, and so that means this one would be the Taken version. If it's the Taken version, is black and white and plasma-y.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think some point, either this afternoon or tomorrow, I think we're gonna attempt it, because it's...
Is it a guaranteed, or is it a random drop for the ship?
So the ship is, you got to get it somewhere in there. I haven't looked that part up, but you have to make sure you get to this Taken public event to spawn first. And then if you go into that portal and you fail, you have to wait until the Taken event happens again. Yeah.
So it's similar to, it's a guarantee that you get the gun at least. As long as you beat it, kind of like when we got,
do it in the time parameter.
Yeah, so you have to do it within the 20 minutes. If you fail it, then, like Chris said, you have to go back out. You have to wait for that public event. You have to beat the heroic version, I'm fairly certain. And then you got to kill an elite enemy that just spawns from Destiny 1 after you beat that heroic one. Kill him, and then go in the portal and try it again. So, it's...
Godspeed.
it's cool, because I remember us trying...
Those were some of the better things from the first Destiny.
Yeah, like, you just, those hidden quests where you're like, I'm going to try this. And then it's like, you try it six times. Right. It's like you just need to beat the time, and then you finally get
and
it.
And that, like, oh, I mean, for the umpteenth time, like, they for some reason did include stuff like that in the second one at launch
right away,
for a while. So
agreed.
Do you remember how fun it was, like, doing the Black Spindle? And even as frustrated as it was, like, when we finally beat it and got it, it was just, like,
so satisfying. And then just implementing that power into the raid to dominate a section of it was great.
We still keep on telling Jeff, like, man, I really wish we should, like, go back to Destiny 1 and just do the King's Fall raid, because
that'd be fun. Actually, that would be a lot of fun. It would be a lot of fun. I enjoy that one so much.
Yeah. And he's never gotten to experience it, so.
Wait, oh, really?
Yeah, him.
He never did that with us.
Probably Carlos and Paco. Yeah. We could
get Carlos and probably Paco to do it.
Well, Paco would ask if he have it on PC first.
Well, Destiny 1 isn't on PC, so right. Fuck off, dude.
Keeps wanting me to get the Forsaken DLC for PC. I was like, no, I already own it for PS4, so.
I own Destiny 2 for free on PC because it came with
you've paid your dividends.
Yeah.
It came with my monthly Humble Bumble that none of us keep expiring.
I mean, now we can all play Conan Exiles, whatever the hell we just got.
So. That could be
fun
for part of a day, actually.
Big Conan Dong.
I've seen some, I've seen some pretty loony videos come out of that game, and it could be fun for part of a day.
So, I mean, that's the thing that sucks, is like, I think every single month we've gotten at least one game that's been like, it's kind of worth the $12.
You got the Escapist 2 with this one as well. Yeah. And I've been wanting to play that, the first one, for a while, so now I have the second one. I mean, I might as well say hello.
I'm just going to forget to do it again. I already know it, so.
Yeah, I know. I should do it right now, but that's rude to do that in the middle of a podcast for the people.
Right.
So, I've played a couple hours of Assassin's Creed Origins. And it's not for me.
Get out. Why?
I don't know. That's the problem. And that's the worst part of it, is I don't know. It's such a good game.
Such a genuine reaction.
No, fuck you, man.
That's what was awesome. I'm not shitting on it this time. I'm not shitting on Ready Player One this time. Like it's a good game. I don't know what it is. I just can't do it. It's not for me.
These are real feelings. And you just don't care, man.
Listen to the sound of my voice. I get it. It's a good game. I don't know. I ran into the same problem with Black Flag. I put more time into Black Flag, but at some point I just stopped and I was just like, eh.
So what do you think it is?
Part of me thinks it could be because I didn't get into the series until much later, which isn't really a problem, but for me, I think for me it is. Somewhere in my brain. And the story isn't doing it for me. And I don't know. And like, cause I never played the first three and then the other like minor games, if you want to include those two. And so I didn't start playing it until Black Flag, which I got for free because I bought an Xbox. And I don't know. I played that one. I played a handful of hours of that one. I played a few hours of the French. Was that Unity?
Yeah.
And I know Unity wasn't as good as Black Flag. I don't know. Like nothing's grabbing me and wanting to keep me there.
So if you honestly looked at it as it's a new entity, not even pay attention to any of the old games. Like, there's some things that do connect in a way, you know, but it's just a breath of fresh air for the Assassin's Creed franchise. Like, it is essentially now an RPG.
Yeah, it is.
The combat is really fun once you get used to it, and you get all the moves, and, you know, you update your stuff, and I would implore you, how far have you gotten?
Just a couple hours, so not super far.
Okay.
I don't want to say anything because Dustin's going to try it eventually.
Yeah, I'll try it, but
All I'm saying, what would you suggest?
Then just keep going a little bit.
Put my head down,
because it goes a little slow start, but once you get into it and start getting more of the side quests on it, you know, some of the cooler items. I don't know, like something clicks somewhere along the way, and I don't know when it is. Because I think I felt the same way when I first started. And I was like, eh, all right, yeah. Well,
I might let Dustin borrow it then.
No.
Burst. Because I started playing Secret of Mana with Misty on PS4. And I have my problems with that game too. But there's, I don't know. I know what that game is, so I know I'll finish it. And then we also started Metal Gear together.
Why do you hate me, Adam, to actually get
through that whole thing.
You can't hear this because I'm muted, but
you're hurting my feelings right now. I'm probably going to focus on those two for a while.
All right.
I will try Origins again down the road.
It's okay, man.
I know. Oh, I know. It wasn't like you loaned it to me very graciously, and I tried it. It just, I don't know, something I couldn't for after a few hours, 2-3 hours. I just couldn't. Or not that I couldn't, is more that I didn't have the drive to go back to it and keep going. Which I don't know which is worse.
I hear you, because I think that's what I'm experiencing with Tomb Raider right now.
Like, yeah, that's what that was. I heard you, it's a good game,
and I'm like, I just forced myself to play it today. Like, I watched a couple episodes of Animal Kingdom, which is great, by the way. Great show.
Okay.
Separately, but I was like, I stopped, and I was gonna be like, all right, I'll play some Tomb Raider, you know. Like, I had to force myself to play it, which is probably not a good sign as well. But then after about 20 minutes, I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna go take a nap.
That's what happened to me when I tried The Last of Us for the first time. Remember
False. That's unacceptable.
But that is what happened to me when I first... The first time I tried playing it, and I got to... I can't remember the guy's name now that had all the booby traps up. I got to that part, and I just stopped there, and there was just, like, something about that beginning. Because that's not that far into the game. I mean, that's, what, an hour and a half, maybe, into the actual game?
Probably closer to 3.
Yeah, maybe. Because, like, the beginning part is, like, you're just following around... you know, trying to get outside the city, and then you're just like walking around and you're just shepherding this girl, and it's like, eh, whatever. And it's like, it really wasn't until right after that point that it was like, the next time I sat down to play it at your guys' urging, to be like, it's such a good fucking game. So I finally just pushed myself past that point, and then it was like, it is a different game after that point.
I will say, once I beat the game. So I had already played it once, but I started replaying it again for the remastered version, and I stopped at Bill's town.
Yeah, it's just...
That's probably the worst part of the game.
It is, and it's just, it's such a different game after that point, when it's just the two of you on the run. After that, after the school, like, it's so fucking good.
Yeah, I think we could all probably be in agreement in that. Like, the area with Bill's is like, huh... Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I kind of understand like what Adam's saying here is like, because I haven't played the Assassin's Creed yet, Origins. So, but like, I felt that way the first time I played The Last of Us, and everybody's like, it's such a good game. I was like, all right, well, I'll give it another shot. And then I forced myself. I was like, just get through it. Like, they say it's good. Just get through it. And then it was like, it was almost instant once I got past that point. And I was like, this game is great.
Yeah, because
I couldn't stop playing it.
Yeah, it really gets going after that.
So
once you get past Bill's spot, you go to Pittsburgh. I think it's Pittsburgh. And you just, that first opening scene, you're just like, holy shit. Yep.
It's holy like, this is shit. On. This is on. Like, training wheels are off. You're no longer getting
honestly,
pushed.
Once you get past the school and you...
Yeah.
Find the car, and then you learn more about Bill's backstory with his friend slash partner, lover,
slash
whatever.
He's gay. Like, Bill's gay, guys.
Like, it really opens up into story-wise, it gets much better from that point, because it's past the point of we're going to Bill's, and he's my friend, but he's kind of crazy.
The first time I played it, like, I got to Bill's, and... I hadn't even done the school part yet. Like, I had just met up with him and we were about to leave to then try to get to the school to get the engine and everything. That's where I stopped before we even started moving. So, like,
yeah,
it's just that I basically played the 2.5-3 hours of, like, almost preparing you for what's coming the rest of the game, because you're going to be by yourself. So I get it.
I will try it again. I just don't know when.
Right away. I'm pushing myself to beat Tomb Raider as well, just because I have heard how good it is. And there's got to be something that clicks along the way, you know?
I'm sure it will eventually.
And I'd love to try Assassin's Creed Origins. I would say wait until we have that gaming lull later in the year, because I have too many things to play currently and coming up that I just...
Well, apparently we're all pre-ordering Spider-Man PS4 Pro, so...
Oh, yeah. So, lovely listeners, now in September. That happened yesterday.
Yes, or this morning.
Yeah, so Dustin and I put down the pre-orders for the Spider-Man PS4 Pro bundle. I'm going to be trading my current PS4 and my Wii U for it.
It also comes out on Adam's birthday, so.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
My and lovely boy.
More of a reason for me to probably do that as a birthday present to myself. Mm-hmm. I just haven't done yet. For a while, I've been mulling the idea around of trading in my PS4 for a PS4 Pro, and then I saw the Spider-Man one. And even if you, I don't know, Spider-Man's one of my favorite superheroes.
Ditto.
And it's such a good red.
It is.
Like, that's such a good red. And it has the Spider-Man logo on it, on the console itself, and you get a really cool red controller as well.
And the controller you can only get with the bundle, by the way.
Like,
they are not selling it separately.
For my current PS4, for example, froze up this morning.
Oh,
well. When I tried to play it.
You have had a lot of issues with that thing.
I have.
Let's just talk about Dustin's week with hardware issues in general. Oh my god.
Hardware or internet? Because I've seen both.
Both. Yeah. There was one night I was playing with Chris and Jeff, and my internet just kept going out. Comcast came out, fixed whatever. They said there was static buildup.
I put quotes when you said
that
fix.
Meme.
I don't know. It sounded made up, but since they've changed whatever attachment that was, it's been fine.
Okay.
So whatever he did, I don't care, but it's not going down.
Do you need to like rub your feet, your, you know, like exactly, put socks on your feet, right, on the carpet and like touch the outlet every once in a while and
get rid of that static discharge? It really sounded made up, but like apparently he was saying that will cause the modem to try to send a signal and refresh it every so often, and that's, I mean, our modem kept going down, so
okay,
whatever. But, and then after that, the very next night, I was like, all right, it's fixed. Let's try the game. My PS4 froze up twice, mid-talking to Chris.
Yep. I was there.
So
time for a new PS4.
Yeah. For me, it's like, I need a new one. I'm going to get the game anyway. We're going to have a PS4 for the next few years, according to E3. So.
Well, I just bought like a new router not that long ago, right?
Yeah,
and it only has one Ethernet jack in the back separately.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's definitely
you
weird.
You fucked up.
No, it's a great router, but like, here's what I found out is that
it's kind of
the PlayStation 4's Wi-Fi is fucking terrible.
Oh yeah, it's fucking poo poo.
It is god awful. Like,
it's duty.
I used to have my PS4 hardwired. I can't use my PS4 as an entertainment console anymore because I would stream Plex. I would stream Amazon Prime, Netflix, everything. It can't do that anymore that well. Like, it is terrible quality. So that's one of the reasons. More hard drive space is nice.
A terabyte, though.
I'm probably going to be getting a 4K TV in the next year.
Yeah.
Year and a half, you know. Same here. So yeah, it's. Same. And also, just like Dustin said, with them saying the PS4 is still going to be the console to get and it's going to be around for the next 4 or 5 years, like, it's. Yeah. Okay. This makes sense then.
So, if you ask allegedly Jeff, he'll tell you to put that money in your 401k.
Put in your 402k.
And I said, I would
even better, your
802k.
Your 802k.
Yep. Yep.
It's my money and I need it now.
Want it now.
Shout it out your window.
throw it at Comcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Static. See what happens. We're supposed to get faster internet speed soon, so yay.
So working at Radio Shack, that is a thing, actually.
Static buildup.
Static buildup, yes.
Well, there you go. That's maybe the guy wasn't lying to me. That's what happened, apparently, out on our line.
By the way,
it's bad cable installation, but they have things that you could put around cables. And
static buildup is my new band name.
Mine's Bloodywood. Oh, shit, it's taken.
Oh, no. Damn it. Yeah, actually, I did want to shout those guys out this episode.
my new band name is the PUBG Invitational.
Oh. We're going to get to the PUBG Invitational momentarily, but if you, all week since I start, well, actually, since I started working at home again, I randomly found a band on YouTube called Bloodywood, which some of you might be thinking, that sounds like Bollywood, and you're right, it does sound like that, because it is an Indian metal band that has a lot of elements from traditional Hindi or Indian music or folk music layered under metal.
It's fantastic. That makes sense.
And I'm not a huge fan. I like metal music every once in a while. It really has to hit a sweet spot for me, and this one definitely does. So go check them out on YouTube. That's Bloodywood, all one word. They do a cover of the old the old fun song Tunak Tunak, and it's fucking great. Go check them out, please.
I'm a fan of metal, but so I mean my opinion is just gonna be like you should go listen to it anyway, but it's different, but it's great different,
and that's why I like it.
Yeah,
it's because it's so different.
I mean, I'm not into that guttural screaming into the microphone, like hard pass.
Oh, Norwegian death metal. Okay,
yeah, I'm not into.
I mean, that's not to say that I don't listen to some of that stuff. I just that's not my main go to.
Right. So yeah, the PUBG Invitational. If you
in Berlin,
is it
happening right?
It was.
How'd you find that out?
Well.
You could look on any social media site if you follow something even remotely akin to video games, or you could play the game itself, and it's on a banner that trails behind the plane. It's on your parachute. It's on billboards throughout the maps. It's probably in your dreams at night.
Which was funny is that we were playing, what was it, last week?
Yeah.
And we came across this billboard, like the...
It was like the structure of a billboard. Like,
yeah, but there was no billboard on it. Like, it was just to show that, like, it's broken down because you're, you know. But I was like, well, that's weird. That's actually, we were more surprised that it wasn't up on that while we were playing the game. Because so it's everywhere.
It's happening right now. Maybe not right now, because it's probably late night in Berlin. But this weekend, it's been happening. It'll be over by the time this episode comes out. However, if you were to hold some kind of pro invitational event that has $2 million in prize pool money, would you say that your game's esports ready?
Yes. I would hope so.
Generally, if that kind of money is on the line, I would say my game's esport ready. But the creator of PUBG, Brendan Greene, Mr. Player Unknown himself, said his game is not esports ready. That's a quote. That is a quote.
So was he like saying this in reference to something, or
no? I think they interviewed him during this.
That right before it started, they interviewed him, and he said, "Yeah, PUBG is not esports ready, but here's an event that people can win a shitload of money playing." So,
yeah.
It's which is like fine. It's fine. I mean, to be fair, the game runs great. We play it a lot.
Sure.
And they've, at least performance-wise, the game has gotten a lot better, especially with the most recent map release of the updates. So, I mean, it's very more than functional. But, I don't know. Something about that statement just kind of rubs me the wrong way / is hilarious.
It's like, I don't mind that you have like the PUBG Invitational, where you have a lot of pro teams playing. Like, if you want it to be like a trial run to see if your esports ready and to get it to where you need it to be, cool, that's fine. Having a $2 million like pool of prize money that you could win for a game that might not be up to standards seems weird. Like, you're just, I hope everything goes well, but that just sounds like if a problem happens and let's say one of those teams then misses out on the $2 million, what's your answer going to be?
It's a prize pool. So,
oh, okay.
It's not you win the quote unquote win the invitational and you get $2 million. It's more okay. There's $2 million of prize money. And depending what, like, you know, there's third person and first person sectionals and like, there's a point system, and then there's solo and duo. And so, like, of that $2 million, that's dispersed to the winners okay. or second or third place throughout.
So that's why this is a big difference between esports and a tournament. This Global Invitational is a tournament. This is not esports. Esports is what, like, Overwatch League, what League of Legends is going into and everything.
That's fair.
So for him saying that they're not esports ready is totally understandable. That is a big mainstream thing. I don't think it is ready. Also, like, something that is even more, we'll say, structurally built, sound, Fortnite, that is not esports ready as well.
Oh, God, no.
Like,
they've been trying, what is it, the Summer Invitational or whatever it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Summer League? Yeah. Yeah. And it's, they have a structured point system that, you know, everybody who's in it enters games, but it's also with randoms. It's not like a closed server. Necessarily.
Yeah. So, like, if it's esports, like, this is a sponsored teams, you know, they have, you know, big sponsorships, they have training, like, this is their full-time jobs for these people. But gaming tournaments have been going on for forever, you know? Yeah. And I remember when we first heard this, I was like, oh, man, you know, like, wow, he doesn't have faith in the game. But then thinking about it more and reading about it, it's like, no, this makes sense. You know, I'm sure somebody asked him, like, you know, are we going to see PUBG in an esports, you know, arena or whatever?
Sure.
And he was like, no, we're not ready for that yet. And it probably got taken out of context at some point, you know, but that's how I took it.
You're right. You are correct. Yeah. I don't know. Something rubs me, not the wrong way necessarily. It makes me pause for a second, go, huh, that you're going to collectively pool. I guess, I mean, a lot of it will be also through sponsorships and whatnot, but for $2 million to be like available for people to win and then have the creator of the game be like, yeah, it's not ready for the pro scene, which this is not the pro scene, but which is what you said. I don't know. It's funny that it just came out right before this big event, huge event started.
Probably the wrong time for him to say it, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's what I'm in my head. That's what I was thinking, was like, the timing of all this is possibly poor, bordering on silly to say that now.
I do think PUBG could be a contender for esports eventually, like, as far as battle royales go, because, like, Fortnite is perfect for the Twitch watchers, the kids, everything. I think
more PUBG, entertaining to watch.
It is. PUBG is strategy. It really is. It is precise. It requires more critical thinking, in my opinion, than what other battle royales on the scene currently have.
I'm not going to say it's more skill based because if you watch Fortnite videos and you see people, especially if they're solos, come up against each other and they're both really good at building.
Yeah, it gets pretty intense.
It gets ridiculous. And that takes skill to be able to think that fast to build and also know where your opponent is and shoot at not the same time, but like while you're building against each other. That can get real crazy, and that takes a lot of skill.
And I don't mistake me saying skill, I meant strategy. Like,
even
PUBG is a strategic game.
Yeah, but
like where you land, where you go.
I get what you're saying, and I agree, because PUBG, there's something a little more with PUBG that maybe it's because it's a little more quote-unquote realistic.
Because it has the Winchester.
Or because it just has a Winchester.
Woo!
Although there's a hunting rifle. In
Fortnite. Damn it. Well, anyway. There you go.
there's a little more with PUBG that makes it a better eSport game versus Fortnite currently. And that could change. But I do agree.
It might not. Epic might not want to go down that route for all we know.
Yeah, absolutely. They can do whatever they want, and they're going to be fine. So.
Oh, yeah.
Still enjoying the hell out of Season 5, throwing that out there. But, you know, time will tell. The other question is, are we ever going to see PUBG in an eSport-ready state? I would have to assume yes, but I can't give you a timetable on whenever that might be.
I don't think it's going to be their old maps. I think it's going to be the 4x4 maps.
It's definitely the new map, if anything, and maybe the maps going forward, because...
Yeah, oof. I could see that.
But, I don't know, time will tell. And
the thing I would ask out of PUBG is, if we want to play a custom game with four people, let us play a custom game with four people. That is
true.
I mean, maybe that's the feedback they'll get, and eventually, like,
I have a feeling that might be what they're right. They might be what they're going for eventually. It's just right now, I don't know if they can handle it.
No,
man, I just wanted to go 1v1v1v1 Winchesters only. Like, that's all I wanted to do.
That'd be fun.
Oh my god, that'd be so much fun. Please, Brendan Green.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see what holds for the future. Maybe they'll just release a mode that's just ghillie suits and Winchesters only. And we can do it that way.
Count me in. I'm in right now.
But in the meantime, I believe this is the last episode that is sponsored by Slumberyard Handcrafted.
Is it really?
On our current contract.
Uh-oh.
Which is actually a real thing. Mm-hmm. I signed some documents with the owner, and we had a obligation to each other that put us on iTunes and Podbean, which got us on iTunes and Google Play and now Spotify.
In everything.
That if he allowed us to do that, we would say that Slumberyard Handcrafted is your source for custom wood furniture, woodworks, and sawmill services. From tables to beds, cutting boards to benches, and everything in between, they are here to build your dream. You can visit their website at slumberyardhandcrafted.com, and you can find there a calendar of upcoming events. Or if you wish to schedule yourself a free design session, you can also do that on their website. And watching their social media, which you can find them on Facebook or Instagram at Slumberyard Handcrafted. Everything they do is just getting better and better. And honestly, you can see how they're learning. Josh and Julie over there at Slumberyard have an eye for it, and they keep challenging themselves with slightly bigger and bigger and bigger projects, and they're nailing it. And if you have something in mind, go ahead and visit slumberyardhandcrafted.com and schedule yourself a design session. And that's the last contracted ad for now.
It feels so weird. I just, regardless of whether he sticks with us or not, I just want to keep telling people about it.
I just want to tell him I love him.
I just want some of that jerky.
I don't know. Jerky. Well, we'll see what happens in the very near future. But as always, we are always accepting sponsors. And go ahead and get at us.
I'm thinking about asking Peak Exteriors.
Hey, man, you never know.
Yeah, we advertise for free for them right now.
Maybe I'll go 15th and Chris, because I had one of their best burgers of my life.
Oh, my God.
On Thursday.
Which one did you get?
Oh, the Machiavelli.
That's what I had the other day, too.
And it's delicious. I had him actually cracking up laughing because he was doing orders, and I came up and I was like, do you have any vegan options? And he looks around and goes, yeah, man, not here yet. I'm like, that's the best answer you got. No.
If you are in the northern Illinois area and you want yourself a good burger and amazing french fries.
Garlic parmesan french fries.
Go, man. Check out 15th and Chris, and they will treat you right, because my goodness.
I think the only time I've ever had them was last year at Screw City Beer Fest, and it was fucking fantastic.
I hope they come back.
Go ahead.
I will say, I hope they come back. And like, some of the benefits of working at my job is like we have like a concierge that will get like
kind of cater
stuff delivered. Yeah, and one of the next weeks coming up, we're gonna have Vibo's Pizza, which is like a wood fire pizza food truck.
Okay,
and there's also gonna be the Greek food truck at some point. So it's like gyros, and it's the only Greek food I can name right now. There's probably more.
Baklava.
Yeah. Baklava!
Yeah.
Yes. Paco won't listen to this, but yeah.
No, he won't.
That's a shout out to Paco.
I mean, all the free advertisement you want for anything, Chris. Well, not free, but, you know, I'm happy to do this now in this episode. Because mm-hmm. that Machiavelli burger is goddamn good.
Also, Home Chef, what's up?
Yeah, hey. There's plenty of room on the ship for people who want to help keep us afloat. And I haven't gotten to the point where I want to do a Patreon, because we're not there yet. Nor, I don't know, it feels weird for a podcast to do that. But not saying that's a bad thing. Anywho. Remember, I don't know, what was it, 2 years ago? There's a little game came out called No Man's Sky.
Yeah, I pre-ordered it. Played like 2 hours of it.
And then what?
And then I uninstalled it.
Okay.
Didn't go back.
Was it because it underperformed, underwhelmed, or underpromised? Or all three?
All three. Because I remember watching interviews with what's his name? I can't even remember it anymore.
Sean something.
Something like that. I looked at his Reddit. AMA, I read all that stuff leading up to
it. He was on the Colbert Show.
Got hyped for this game. Bought it, downloaded it. I mean, there is a grind, which I appreciate.
Sean Murray, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. And, yeah, no, you couldn't play with friends, even though it was supposed to be.
That was one of the touting things, was like,
yep.
Play in this entire galaxy universe with your friends, and then almost instantly that got that theory got completely blown up.
Yeah, and it's like the universe is so big, you may never run into another person. And it was like, so, within the first few hours they ran into each other, but they were like in the same spot.
You lied to
basically
us.
Yeah, so it was underwhelming. It was very monotonous and boring, and I just stopped playing it. But
well, here we are, the year of our Lord, 2018. And No Man's Sky Next has released.
Mm-hmm.
Fulfilling the promise. Well, not free, but if you still own the game, it's free. If you download it digitally, then yeah, it's free.
Which
but,
I did.
Smart. However, if you owned a physical copy and got rid of it, well, not so free. But 2 years later, No Man's Sky Next fulfills, I'd say, close to all the promises that were made originally.
Just about. I mean, they very quietly have been fulfilling the promises of this game over the last 2 years.
The past 2 years, especially in that first year, they very rightfully so, and we've talked about it before, were blown, their spot was blown the fuck up, mm-hmm. and were completely ridiculed and badmouthed by practically everybody, I'd say. And yes. I mean, it took them 2 years, but now I think they've fulfilled all the promises that they originally made, or almost all the promises they originally made. I can't say that for 100%, they've done 100% of it. But you can play multiplayer, you can build space bases, and there are rings around the planets. What I'm more interested in, almost seeing, which is, I think, one of the promises they may not have gotten to, is the fauna on all the planets, and how hopefully now they're a lot more quote-unquote species in the game.
Yeah, because it was basically the main thing they said was like the fauna and the like the animals you run into are supposed to be just completely randomly generated.
That's what fauna means.
Oh, I was thinking vegetation.
Flora is the
thank vegetation. You.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Flora and fauna.
Yeah,
there we go. Yeah, it was supposed to be random and. It was a bunch of the same. There was only very few variations, but it was very boring. But now I'm hearing it's actually legit.
So I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
So No Man's Sky, when it first came out, was essentially a Kickstarter campaign. That you could just play right away. Yeah.
So when they originally released it, you would say it was the Prius of alphas?
Oh, yeah, man.
Okay.
And people got to play, you know, that. And they just were quiet about it, you know, marketing and the like. And everyone just, you know, they bought into it. They threw down
their money. They made a shitload of money.
Look, they got the next out and... You know, maybe. I don't know. You guys just talking about it now actually was like, oh, man, maybe I should reinstall it.
I separately had the same thought as you, that this was just a very, very long-term Kickstarter. And I'm sure they were under a microscope with deadlines from Sony. And so that might have played in a part of it, and they just overpromised and underperformed, more or less. And... I'm very happy that they finally can fulfill a lot of what they said was originally going to be there 2 years ago. I have no intentions of playing it with you guys or any of our other friends who are thinking about reinstalling it or already have in some cases. I want to see what it's. I do want to reinstall it and just see what it's like for myself. And I don't, because I kept the game for better or worse, I guess. I don't know. It's good they finally got there. I hope, whatever they do next, they are much more cautious with.
Agreed. Like also. I just finished installing it this morning, and similar to what you just said, like I'm, you know, like if the game is worth it, I will attempt to play it with other people and like actually get into the game. But
so they've added multiplayer. There is now a third person camera view for your playable character, which also means there's customization for your character. And I don't know how many episodes ago, but I know you talked about it. They added base building, which was one of the original things. And
that was sometime last year, I think.
Improved upon that this recent release.
So I watched a video this morning, I think it was IGN's Facebook feed, that they're like, let's test out the base building. And they basically just made a gigantic, few ramps as high as they could and just jumped off of it. And it was basically in the atmosphere. Like,
that's cool.
But if you can't take a paddle boat and float down off the top like you can in Minecraft, I want it.
What a beautiful find that was.
That was great. But, you know, from everything I've read, everything I've seen, this looks promising. And I already fucking paid the $60 for the game. I have a digital copy. I can't get rid of it. I'll try it out.
Real shitty that it took him 2 years to finally like make do on their promises. It's real shitty and terrible business practices, but I will commend Hello Games. Is that their name?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
I will commend them at least for not abandoning the project and starting a new one. That was like, this is what we really meant.
Sticking with it.
And all the updates have been for free.
Yep. Which apparently is surprising to some people, and I'm not sure why. Because
they could have just started over again with a new project. They didn't.
Sure.
And then they I mean, it's like, ethically it's good that they to do that because that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. That's not how businesses run.
Well, like, well, yes and they no, wanted to depending do it, depending on their thought process. So, like, I already pre-ordered the game, spent the full $60. Had they come out with this DLC expansion, whatever, and it cost money, I would never buy it.
Yeah, who would have?
Exactly. So, like, them making it available for free, it keeps that, like you said, like, okay.
It makes sense, and they're making good on a promise.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But so, how often does that happen in business?
Exactly.
With, not like, enough.
Multi-million dollar businesses. That almost never
not
happens.
Enough. Not enough. For
so that's sure. why it's a little surprising.
That's true.
In the best way.
But, I mean, them keeping it free made me reinstall it. I'll check it out.
Exactly.
And if I like it, I'll keep playing it.
They're making do with what they have. And the people who have really stuck with it and played it as they've been updating it are touting this as amazing.
Yeah. So I mean, I won't ever pre-order a Hello game again, but...
No. Whatever. I'll... they come out with you know, next is gonna whatever be the next one is. Wait and see.
I ain't pre-ordering it, but
they did that to themselves, so they shot that bullet in their foot knee and femur, basically.
Yes.
But good on you guys, and
that's pretty cool.
Thanks for showing us that not all big business things are terrible. Yes. Also, I don't know if you guys have been hearing it, and I'm going to scrub it from the episode as best I can. One of my neighbors started mowing their lawn.
For
the past 20 minutes or so, 30 minutes. And that dude mowed his lawn 3 days ago.
old people, man.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people who live around me are middle-aged or a little older and retired, and it's just like, man, I can't wait to have that kind of time on my hands.
Yeah. That's why my mom doesn't want my dad to retire, because she's like, he's going to have too much time on his hands.
It's making, like, I've said it before, I'm almost positive that, like, I feel like a piece of shit because I can't mow my lawn that often.
Same. It's like I got once a week, maybe.
I was gonna say I'm usually every other week, depending on the rain. But like since I work at home again now, I sit here and I hear them all mow their lawns, and it gives me anxiety.
Well, as soon as we started recording, that asshole next door started mowing again. So I tried to mute my mic as much as I could, or just not talk.
I can scrub it, no problem. So as long as there's like 3 to 5 seconds of you not talking and him mowing, I can get it out there.
There's like 30 to 45 second patches at the beginning where you guys are just talking and I just sat here quiet because I'm like, you're going to have to mute this whole fucking part anyway.
Did your neighbor mow his lawn 3 days ago too?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Because mine's more just like, I literally watched this dude mow his lawn 3 days ago. Maybe even Thursday. And he's doing it again already. It hasn't rained since then.
Nope.
Not once.
It's the American dream, man.
I guess
he's
so.
He's got that putting green going in the background.
You know, maybe behind there.
Hit a couple shots.
In some other news, non-video game related. Star Wars 9. Episode 9. Sorry. Episode 9. Coming out next year, 2019. Get it? It has been confirmed that Ms. Carrie Fisher will be returning, which, if you don't know, is interesting because she's dead.
What?
So, funny thing, too, also, like, I had read something on Reddit about Carrie Fisher that her urn is a giant Prozac pill.
Yes, that is accurate.
I love her.
She's the best.
Was the best.
No, still is.
Okay.
I know she's not alive, but come on. She fought long and hard for people with anxieties or depression and supporting them, which is why her urn is a Prozac pill. So
that is fantastic.
She fought the good fight for a lot of people. Without voices. Yes,
she did.
Yeah. So
she's going to be in episode 9 along with Mark Hamill.
Yes. Who canonically in Star Wars is dead.
Right.
And then also confirmed is one Billy Dee Williams, who is neither dead canonically or in real life. So
that's going to be fantastic.
We get Lando back.
I'm excited for that.
I need to watch a Solo movie.
I would say, I know Dustin and I haven't seen Solo yet, and that you haven't as well either, Chris.
No, man.
Okay. It's on my list. I will rent it probably when it becomes available via stream.
We'll see it before episode 9 comes out at some
point. Yes, I will. And but yeah, that we, I mean, unless they put Harrison Ford Ghost in there, which I don't see how they would, but
because he wasn't a part of the Force.
He wasn't really Force attuned, but I don't know, maybe being married to Leia and having a kid, I don't know that.
I feel like that might jump the shark for some.
That juice fans, swaps but... over. but I mean, the gang's back more or less. And I don't know. I mean, Billy Dee Williams has been Lando. I mean, obviously since the character was created, but, he appears in the, Battlefront 2 campaign and is voiced by Billy Dee Williams. Like, so I think in almost every opportunity, if Lando is voiced by something, it is Billy Dee Williams, which I appreciate.
He's got a smooth voice, man.
I mean, nobody else could handle Colt 45 like that, man.
Oof. Mm-hmm. Every time I hear Billy Dee Williams, just think of that episode of Scrubs.
Yes.
Where... Lando Calrissian!
I don't know. They are using unused footage along with some other things. Unused footage from episode 7. And some strung along with some other things they had already filmed for episode 9 to have Carrie Fisher still be in the movie, which, I mean, her character's there, so I don't know how else you'd really do it. It'll be interesting to see if they actually kill her off this time or what they do. I don't know.
Well, it is the end of the Skywalker saga, which hopefully, and this is for me. Yeah, exactly. Like it's time.
It's been time. And I'm assuming Mark Hamill, Luke, will be a Force ghost of some kind because how he exited episode 8, he basically said, see you later. And I mean, he'll be back. And then I'm just happy Lando's going to be back. And it seems to, like... And it's not a bad thing, but like a lot of these actors who originally played these original trilogy characters, as they got older, stopped, I don't know, not caring, but, you know, as you get older, you usually get a little bit bigger. But for Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, and Mark Hamill, like, it kind of reinvigorated them, and they looked a little more youthful than they had been previously looking. So I'm hoping the same thing happens to Billy Dee Williams, because he started looking like his age.
Yes,
that dude's 81, man.
Yeah, he's not young by any means. He's a little younger than Dustin, but he is hopefully getting back into the suit or whatever they put him in. Yeah, I'm not leaving enough time for you to say anything.
I was refusing to take the spot.
reinvigorate him a little bit and put some of that sparkle back in his eye.
Yeah, just like Dustin's wedding. Like, that reinvigorated him.
It really
him.
Did.
And he started looking youthful again.
Yeah,
like,
it's amazing.
Dude, seriously.
Star Wars.
I was like, I'm just going to let you guys go. I've been told this is how it goes. You guys make a joke about my age, I go, fuck you, and then I laugh.
So Kerry Russell's also going to be in it. And
Kurt Russell?
I know. No, Kerry Russell.
Oh, okay. That's still good.
So we are not by any means a wave. You know, we don't set trends here. You know, we're probably not heard by a lot of people. But guys, it's just a movie. Let's not have the same mistakes of Last Jedi and get all amped up because somebody didn't portray a character correctly or anything.
It matters.
It's just a movie.
Yeah, and these are still real people, so like,
I can't wait for that campaign they have to just crash and burn. Because it's going to.
No, I hope it happens. I hope they make the fucking movie, and I hope it sucks.
It will. Because
it's like the time. It's like when Stephen King remade The Shining. And it just sucks.
What's that?
I don't know.
Yeah, how dare you.
I'm more surprised by the fact that Disney hasn't stepped in yet.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like Disney is maybe doing some
little damage control. I'm assuming they're preparing.
They'd have to be.
Someone is.
Well, even like for Disney, like right now, I was talking to Dustin about this last night, but like, so they fired James Gunn.
Yeah.
And they now have a ton of people, 50,000 signatures on a petition so far, the last I read, and Dave Bautista and Michael Rooker, like, guys, seriously?
So,
like, come on.
A big thing that happened this past week was, as Chris said, James Gunn was fired from directing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And despite how you might feel about the first two, whether you like him or not, like, there are some of the more fun Marvel movies.
Yep.
And generally, I'd say, people liked it. And he was fired because he made a lot of inappropriate jokes. Granted, a lot of them were about rape and pedophilia, which is, very touchy subjects. But he tweeted these things 10 years ago, or was it 10 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that.
It was a long time ago.
A long time ago. I do know that. Towards the beginning of Twitter.
Before he made the first two Guardians movies.
But well before he was even considered, or maybe, I don't know, attached to the first Guardians movie.
Yeah.
And he used to work for a company that made a lot of crude humor movies back in the 80s, which, if you haven't seen The Toxic Avenger, which has literally nothing to do with the Marvel Avengers, it's a series of, like, B movies. Terrible acting, terrible effects, but that's the charm kind of thing. And it was just all crude jokes and humor because that was a lot of 80s comedy movies at the time.
Yeah.
And so he wrote a lot of those and wrote a lot of jokes on Twitter in the same kind of vein, and was fired for it because... I don't know. Did Disney find them, or did people start? Or no,
I think he was deleting them, and some guy was like,
some dude.
Look at this.
Who, despite whatever your political affiliations are, is a little more leaning of the right, and was James Gunn is pretty left, I guess, if you have to simplify it into those terms. And was he was more like, look at this guy who is leaning on the left, and he made all these really inappropriate jokes, and what are you going to do about it? And that caught wind and caught fire, and James Gunn deleted over 10,000 tweets, which, to be fair, that's a lot.
That's a whole lot.
It is. That's a fuck ton. Like, that's a lot. So, did they force Disney's hand to fire him? Maybe. Was it? I understand the business move to disassociate themselves with him. Hell, even James Gunn understood it as a business move. But there's a lot of people who work with him and worked in the Guardians movie so far that are like, no, that's not cool. He needs to come back. It's like, we all make dumb mistakes when we're young.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of them are put onto social media. Some of them are just said or done outright. I mean, I know I've made my share. I just haven't really put them available for people to find.
And this thing is that, I understand if this was like 2 years ago or something, 3 years ago even, like, yeah, absolutely, I understand. But this is something like, he was known for that kind of harsh humor then.
Yes.
And he has changed. And any of his past work over the past 5 or even 6 years would show that change.
You can look up on, I'm not going to quote any of them, any of the things he has tweeted that he deleted. They're available to find online. You can just simply search for it. Some of them are real tough.
They're very inappropriate. And like you said, it happened like 10 years ago. So
is it forgivable? Maybe. Should it be?
Maybe yes, maybe no. But it's like it's a real problem with our society, where people are just professionally angry about anything and everything. So it's whatever.
Not to mention the. Oh, sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, we're also in, you know, in an age where, you know, it's an act first mentality compared to like this just happened, a similar thing, at least I should say, with Chris Hardwick, if you've been reading on where he AMC let him go, fired him because of allegations.
Did they fire him or did they put him on leave?
They suspended him.
Right. Okay.
Was it suspended? I heard that they just cut ties.
They just reinstated him to talking to
him. I understand. They just reinstated him. That's what I was saying. Nerdist. I thought they had cut ties. Nerdist cut ties with him.
Nerdist completely cut ties with him ever being a founder of Nerdist. Although years before that, he had
separated himself.
Like he wasn't even a part of Nerdist anymore.
But this is just because of allegations of a former girlfriend. And then as soon as those came out, like it was done. Like people were like, AMC did this stuff where
suspend, fire, whatever. Yeah, like it. First versus, and then they investigated, which I mean, you almost have to do that now, but like,
yeah, because the mob mentality is to just freak out and like it just you like people just condemn people with no proof. And I'm not saying that Chris Hardwick's ex-girlfriend was lying, but she wrote a blog.
They're pretty
it's like it wasn't even vetted by like it wasn't even like a news story, it wasn't vetted or proven. So you literally, like, people just overreacted, so.
I don't know. And that's the tough thing. Like, I don't know if it's true or not. It's damning
not at all.
If it's true. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is that we're in the middle of, like, the Me Too movement-esque.
And it's important.
It is important. Very much like, so. This is getting political. This has turned this conversation. But it's very important because if it's happening, absolutely, it needs to be brought to light. It needs to be, something needs to be done. The Harvey Weinsteins out there, the Matt Lars, yes, get them out of here. But I'm going Spider-Man with this. Great power comes great responsibility. Now, like, words can cripple somebody without any investigation into it. Like, man, you have to tread so lightly now, you know. Yeah,
because if you don't just immediately agree with the mob, you're a part of the problem. So it's, you know, it's whatever. People are going to do that. They're going to overreact.
Yeah.
And they're going to go overboard with their reactions, which then the country, you know, votes in somebody like Donald Trump. So maybe don't go so hard one direction and force people who disagree with you to go so hard the other direction. Then a bunch of us that are just stuck in the middle are looking at both sides going, you're all fucking stupid. So everybody just calm down.
I will never severely lean either way. Personally,
never.
I do lean more left, but you have to look at all sides rationally before you right away go into whole thing. Like I have a buddy that's like, you know, I'd punch an alt-right person. I was like, all right, man, like you're just you're putting violence with violence at this point. Like that's not helping anything.
That's not an answer.
that's exactly. Not going to do anything. You're just thinking, you're showing them that their part is right, essentially. And anyway,
professionally angry on both ends. It's ridiculous. It's so funny.
Everyone's dumb. You're all dumb.
Exactly. Everybody just
I'm not
chill
dumb.
Out.
I'm right. No.
Listen to me.
I've spent 30 years on this earth. I know a thing or two.
Mm-hmm. Let me straighten my tie.
Well, what better way to segue into Tweet Corner than that? that was a good conversation, at least.
It was.
It was, man.
Tweet Corner.
Tweet Corner.
I love that so much.
That was good. That was a good one.
Well, we got we got this episode.
Y'all, we got four. Boom. So here we go. We're just gonna knock them out of the park. Here we go. The first one comes from @CoWitzChurch @CGY Podcast. consider this my hashtag tweet corner submission. And then he quoted a tweet. Worst public place to have to shit.
A nudist beach.
Ooh. Well,
that's pretty bad.
That could be. There's a lot of implications. So,
Anywhere, because I'm a home pooper.
Home base.
I don't like to poop other places. I had to poop at work the other day, and I just felt uncomfortable for the rest of the day.
I have resigned myself to just shit in public, because otherwise I'm going to be uncomfortable until I get home. So.
Depending on the situation, yeah, I'm more okay with it than I have been as a younger man.
I very much prefer to shit at home.
But... I don't know if it's public, but probably one of the worst places you could shit would be on a first date at your new first date's parents' house if you're younger.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If you're struck with certain emergency urges.
How about on an airplane?
I've never done it.
I've never done that either, but I've been on an airplane when people shit, and it's like everybody knows it.
I've never been on a plane before, so...
Well.
I'm also like... So, we've talked about this, you know, on a podcast. Like, I take long poops.
My me time.
And...
You might hold a world record.
I have a tendency to, in my past life, to clog a lot of toilets because of said poops. So, I just don't
anywhere,
want to do it.
Basically. Speaking from experience, I will say Wrigley Field.
Ooh, I've never done that. That's gotta be bad.
The bathrooms are a lot nicer now, so I'm talking like 5+ years ago. Anytime before then.
I didn't even like peeing at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, those trough. Goddamn urinal troughs. Fuck those.
Yeah, it's not even a urinal. It's a trough.
It's just a trough. Yeah. So
with ice.
If you're lucky. There's ice. A lot of old man dick in that room.
A lot of old dick in this old man dick in this room, too. A lot of
old dick in this episode.
You got a lemon party going at your house, Chris?
Speaking of lemon party, at Katie Doodles 8 asked us a question. At CGY Podcast, would you rather work Black Friday at an Apple store or host a lemon party in your home?
Now, I'm
hosting one right now.
I asked you guys this question about a month ago.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
So I was ahead of the curve here.
Yes, you were.
Apple store, hands down. No, it's not even a debate.
I believe obviously. But I think we figured out back then that we would want to host a lemon party at an Apple store on a Black Friday.
Ideally, if the winds are right.
Yes.
You host a lemon party at an Apple store on Black Friday. But given the choice.
I've worked a Black Friday at a cell phone store. It's hands down that.
I'm going lemon party.
Oh.
Well, you just have to host it.
I don't have to partake, nor do I. I mean, if you're a good host, you're going to be there.
But it's in your home, so fuck.
But they're a bunch of old men. They will clean up after themselves.
But it doesn't say be a good host. It just says host one. I'd just be like, all right, do your thing.
Yeah.
I'll be here.
I'm going to go. Scrub my eyeballs out with fucking
Black Friday all day
steel wool. Oh no, I'll host a lemon party. Let those old men freak. You can put that on a t-shirt. Let those old men freak.
Let those old men freak.
So our next one, and this is a good one, I think, is comes from @BradSiff. At CGY Podcast, what's scarier, space or the ocean? # Tweet Corner.
I wonder if that's going on right now because Shark Week's going on right now. It'll be over by the time the episode comes out.
The ocean.
Ocean. Cuba. I'm not a Cuba diver.
I'll go Cuba diving.
I'll tell you right now.
I'll go Cuba
diving. I go Norklin.
I thought about this question, and I think it depends on certain variables.
Go on.
Are you just in the middle of an ocean with no food, water, anything, and oxygen?
Not to open water.
Same with space, because then definitely the ocean, because you're going to be dead in space in a minute. So,
I would say both, but they're two different kind of scary, it's like scare feelings. Ocean just freaks me out because I would hate, I'm afraid of open water, truthfully. I am. Mm-hmm. Like, one of my biggest fears is, like, being in an ocean underwater and just seeing in the distance, like, a silhouette of a large animal.
That's a primal fear.
It's yeah. scary. It's fucking scary, man. Space is scary because it is infinite. And it freaks me out inside knowing that we have not even seen as far as space can go. And it goes forever.
Did you guys see that they actually found an underground lake on Mars the other day?
What?
With water.
I did not fucking see that, but that is awesome. Insanely badass.
Fucking rad.
I'm looking that up.
I'll say both space and the ocean are insanely fascinating to me.
I'm sticking with the ocean. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so like, if you were to say you have unlimited oxygen and let's say a cage or a spaceship, whatever, then yeah, the ocean's going to be scarier because you're just going to die in a week less because of no water in space, because it's just mostly open space. There's nothing there. You can just see a lot of stuff. Eventually, you're going to get bored and just die to no water. In the ocean, you got a lot of shit that's going to try to kill you.
Or if you're Bender, a meteorite will hit you and start a civilization on your tummy.
But I kind of want to just say space is scarier because technically oceans exist within space.
So I'm going to say the ocean because it's here on Earth and we still don't know what's down there.
That's true. Exactly. Like the ocean, we have the potential to explore, but we don't know the full depths of it. And it scares me, you know, that
there is a subreddit that you should frequent.
I've been there. I know what you're saying, and I don't want to even think about it. It truly scares me.
Well, I would like to hear about it.
It starts with a P. I'm looking it up right now. Reddit. Here's the ocean Reddit. There's our deep dark water, or the one I was thinking of. It's pronounced thalassophobia.
Yep. Nope. Been there.
And R thalassophobia, which is thalassophobia, is all about fear of what's down there. And sometimes it's drawings people do, or just open water, or sometimes someone will, you know, scientists will find a picture of a giant squid that'll get put up on there, and it's pretty terrifying.
I will say my immediate like visceral reaction is like space just fascinates me. Like I'd love to go.
Oh yeah, completely. Space.
But like I went to the Dominican Republic and I barely wanted to get in the ocean. So
when we were in the Caribbean for our honeymoon and Misty was sick on a boat, I was snorkeling in the Caribbean. And
you were norkeling.
I was norkeling in the Caribbean. That's their word. And
I've also been norkeling.
I got not separated, but like I was by myself and probably a good 30, 40 feet away from the closest person. And like going underwater and like where we were, there were ancient, like I think Mayan statues and ruins underneath on the seafloor. And it was fucking so rad to see all that underwater. Mm-hmm. But like you're in the middle of the sea and it was raining and storming. So like the waves were kind of big and coming up out of from underneath the water and like it's not seeing anybody in your immediate vicinity is a little troublesome.
Sure.
But I mean, I'm not trying to brush my shoulders off, but like I'm a good swimmer and was close enough to the rope that was laid out there that I just grabbed it and it was fine. So I mean, knowing that was there as a mental safety net was good.
Yeah, I got to scuba dive safely in a
Cuba like, dive
in a controlled environment with stingrays and sharks.
That's cool.
That was fun. It is a little scary when a shark swims right underneath you.
Misty wants to go shark diving, and
I want to get in a shark cage.
That's what she wants to do. Yeah,
fuck yeah.
I'd do it.
Fuck yeah, I do too.
I'd do it.
But if you're just in the ocean, hard pass, you're going to die.
Yeah.
What else? Are you guys done?
Yeah, we're done.
Yes. Oh, God.
Yes.
Sorry.
I saw your faces stop blinking, so.
Just our heads tilted back slightly. We started pointing and screaming.
It's truly a fear. Like, it is? And I didn't know it was real until, like, a few years ago. But, like even when we played Sea of Thieves, like.
Dude, it wasn't good. I don't even like being in a lake when I can't really see the bottom.
Nope.
Like, no. And I'm not, like, I'll swim. Like, I've swam across lakes, and, like, I don't care. I've fished in them and then swam in them the next day. Like, who gives a shit? Like, there's northern pike in there. But, like...
I got a story for you guys.
Still. No. Oh, also, bull sharks can swim up into fresh water, just so you know.
That. I thought we were done
talking about this. Dustin reminded me about the lake thing. Back in the, I think, late 60s or 70s when my parents were married before they had kids... my dad had some land and a boat up in Lake Mills in Wisconsin, and I've been on that lake several times, and it's great. It's perfect for skiing and tubing and stuff like that. Apparently they were skiing with a bunch of their friends, and then out of nowhere, like, one of my parents' friends was skiing and he just went under and never came back up. They never found the body.
That's great.
While they were there. So, you know, shit can happen. Be safe out there. Wear your life mm-hmm. preservers. And even that might not matter. There you go.
And just so you know, Chris, they have found bull sharks up the Mississippi as far north as Illinois. The next question.
Moving on. Moving on.
From allegedly Jeff.
Moving on.
From allegedly Jeff at CGY Podcast. This is a twofer, by the way. What is the weirdest thing you have ever seen in someone else's home? And then also, what is the weirdest thing in your home? # tweet corner.
Hmm.
Anyone that has live, laugh, love in their house, like, that's just weird.
I prepared a little bit for this one. I'm going to send you guys a picture. Ooh. Of the weirdest thing I've seen in anybody else's home.
And I will say, this question is very subjective. Because yes. It's weird to us, may not be weird to you.
Correct. I'm wagering a guess that this is weird to you guys. But,
Waiting. That's, you just sent us a picture of Lemon Party. Why?
It's the weirdest thing in my home.
My parents have
oil painting of Lemon Party. That's
so. I've been to our friend Carlos's parents' house.
Oh, that's creepy as fuck.
And the weirdest thing in their home is this mannequin.
Oh, I know what I know. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
That's a dude that sings "Putting on the Ritz." That's Taco.
I sent a picture to our chat, the three of ours, and. That's just fucking weird.
It's not the best.
When I used to stay at my grandparents' house when I was a kid, they had, like, mannequin clowns on their walls.
Okay. Why?
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, it's probably why they're dead now.
The clowns killed them.
Yeah, exactly.
Clearly.
Also, my parents had, like a bronze or wooden statue of, like, two people standing and, like, making love with each other in their room for the longest time.
That's nice.
I didn't understand. I thought it was cool.
In a similar vein, a girl I dated in high school, her parents had a fertility statue.
We got a fertility statue at my work.
But it was the male variety.
Oh, like two males?
No, just one with a huge boner.
Ooh, oh, I've seen those before.
Yeah, that was weird.
Huge boners, not the statue.
The weirdest thing in my house is a window out front. Sent another picture to our little chat. Doesn't go anywhere. Never seen it. It's not on the inside of the house.
You should probably find that somewhere.
You have an attic, I think, is what you're thinking of here.
I'm assuming. I don't know how to get to it. I've never seen a door to an attic. Our room is upstairs near that. Never seen it. There is a space behind our closet upstairs that I can go behind. Mm-hmm. Went back there, couldn't get to the window.
You know what you need?
That's where the dead bodies.
Demo day.
Ghosts. Yeah, just demo.
Demo day. I'll get my sledgehammer. Let's fucking do this.
We need to figure this out.
What if we find the staff and the pendant from Indiana Jones?
In there?
And that leads us to the Ark of the Covenant.
I don't think it's the weirdest thing in my house, but my sister's husband gave me a poster that's hanging in my bedroom of, I forget what year it is, but it's the World Series banner for the Cubs and the Yankees, like, a long time ago. Like, I want to say it was, like, 1918 or something, but it's, like, an original.
That's weird?
That's what I didn't say. I don't think it's weird, but maybe unique.
For us, it's hard to say what we have in our own homes that we put there as, classify them as weird. Because if they're in our houses, we probably like them.
Katie will also say the weirdest thing in our house is the confessional closet in our basement, which is really just a closet that has, like, one of those doors with, like, I don't know, the pattern of the metal. It just looks like a confessional in a Catholic church.
What if it's no longer in my house?
Was it in your house at one time?
It was pretty weird when Misty and I found that hypodermic needle underneath our basement stairs.
That was weird. That's for sure. Fucking weird.
Right? Like, that's weird. I didn't put it there either, but it was in my house, so I'm going there.
Our friend Jeff has asked us to wrap it up. Yeah, what does he mean? Discord.
I don't know.
I
feel like we use protection, you know?
I do want to take that mannequin from Carlos's parents and put it in that fucking window at my house.
I might use that picture and make the picture for this episode.
Ooh, the weirdest thing in my house is giant check.
You have a giant check?
Remember?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Yes. You kept that?
I have it still. Shit. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. That's not weird.
You can't
That's
cash
awesome.
It because there's no giant banks around here.
I know.
Damn.
It's not fair.
It really isn't.
All right.
Well, let us know what's the weirdest thing any of you have seen in someone else's home.
Yeah.
Also, I would like to know your guys' thoughts on the space in the ocean.
Yes.
The ocean.
And because the worst public place to have to shit.
Space just is interesting to me. You know?
Space is
it really is
super interesting. And look at that, like, look up pillars, that Mars shit.
The pillars of creation are destroyed, by the way, but we can't see it yet. Like, how fucked up is that? Like, what?
It's so cool.
I will say the ocean is also fascinating, but immediately more deadly.
I hope we...
Yes, it is.
At least to me.
I hope our government eventually goes back towards funding space exploration, because, oh man, there's so much.
So much so.
I want to put another man on the moon. I want to be alive when that happens.
I do, too. Yeah, I want to be alive when they put someone on Mars.
I mean, that might happen privately.
I look at those Mars rover pictures, and I am just amazed. And people are like, so what? It's like you're looking at the fucking surface of another planet. How is that not so HD. Amazingly mind-blowing?
Also, have you... there's been a lot... I've noticed a lot of flat Earth things happening lately where a lot of those people are saying that there are other planets... The other planets are round because that's scientifically proven.
What?
But Earth's not a planet. It's hilarious and infuriating all at the same time.
I don't even want to give them podcast space.
Sorry, I'll edit it out. It's fine. fuck those guys. Anyway, that's been episode 30 of Come Get Your Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and Spotify. And you should totally subscribe or follow accordingly, depending on the service. And tell your friends. And tell your friends' kids to maybe listen to us with parental supervision. And or not, depending if you got cool parents or not.
I would also like to throw in a caveat that we put in a Facebook post on our Facebook page last week. It was last week. Mm-hmm. Asking for your honest feedback of our podcast. And I know we have a lot of friends that listen to us, and we just want to be better. We want to give a better experience. So as much as we love, like, you guys are great,
critical feedback.
Give us some honesty, you guys. Yeah, I wanna hear what we can improve on.
It's okay.
You
know? We can take it.
Yeah, we want to get better.
To give you a better product.
Mm-hmm. Just like someone in Yardcraft gives you better products when you meet with them.
Yes.
Yes.
You can follow us on iTunes. Son of a bitch. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at CGY Podcasts. You can let us know there, or you can rate us on Facebook as well. Let that a few more people have rated us. We're sitting at a solid 5.0, which is great, but I know that can't be the truth. So yeah, let us know, like Chris asked, and we asked previously. And yeah, let's make the show even better than it already is. And as always, we end our episode with a shower thought from Reddit, except I can't find my phone. Oh, there it is. Thank God. Whew, that was close. I almost froze. So, anywho, this week's shower thought comes from user. Now that's the spirit. By now, Stacy is the mom that has it going on.
Yes.
And that's episode 30 of Come Get Your Podcast. I've been your host, Adam.
I've been Dustin.
And I've been Chris.
And, we'll see you later on the Menjay.
You know, she could have been the mom then too. Who knows?
She's got it going on though.
She's a GILF now.
Bye.
Bye.